Well, we don't have a lot here, but we've got a quality crowd. I'll say that much. We're glad you did make it tonight. We're going to have a lesson that is actually going to be kind of a short lesson, but hopefully you'll understand the point behind it and the responsibility. And the question is, are you a navigator? And no, we're not talking about the Lincoln vehicle. We know that. But we are talking about the fact that every Christian should be a navigator. That's what we should. Now we're going to look at this. It says, no man is island unto himself. Fellow wrote that back in 1624. He was a novelist and he wrote that. And really, we need each other. That's what we learn. We learn from the Bible. We need each other. And we're there to help each other and to guide each other. And that's what we need to do. People who try and do it on their own usually fail. And so we need to do that. God created us to be social beings with the ability and need to interact with others. Sure, you might run across an occasional person who likes to get out there, live off the grid, live by himself, live with the animals or whatever. And okay, well, that's their thing. But a Christian cannot do that. A Christian has to be in a position where he can guide others, to teach others. That's why when we have the command to let our light shine, if there's nobody else around, how can you fulfill that command? So yes, we are to be social beings. And when Jesus called his disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's right. We're supposed to follow Jesus and we're supposed to do something. Like we said this morning when we talked about get to work. I mean, we're supposed to be working for the Master, just like Jesus did. All right, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. That's a very familiar passage, Matthew 5, 13 and 14. And that is very important for us. And then verse 16, he says, let your light so shine. And it's supposed to do that. And so we are to be shining to show people the way. And in Mark 16, 15, Jesus commanded, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Why? It's because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul said in Romans 1, 16. So in each of these passages, Jesus leaves little doubt that his disciples are to influence and lead others. And when we talk about the disciples of Jesus, we're not limiting that to the 12. When we talk about disciples, because, you know, in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Disciples are learners. Disciples are students. We might use the phrase apprentices or helpers, whatever the case might be. We are here because Jesus has a commission to provide salvation. And that's what he wants us to do, is to help other people find that salvation. So we're to influence them and guide them. That's why we need to be a navigator. We are more than a little shy about that. And sometimes we shouldn't be. We're sometimes afraid to share our convictions because we might find ourselves disagreeing with others. And that's true. Most of the people in this world don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with morality or anything like that. And so when we stand up and start talking what the Bible says, that's going to put us at odds with a lot of people. And we're sometimes afraid to do that. And we might face resistance from those we may not want to lose as a friend. And if you want to know, are they really a friend, just start talking about the Bible. And you'll see if they're a friend or not. Because they will probably say, I don't want anything else to do with you. And so, that's not the type of friend we need. A true friend will do what they can to help you get to heaven. Alright, so, sometimes, knowing that we might face resistance, we don't even bring it up. We don't even mention the possibility and talk about the fact there is a God. Excuse me. And this God has a plan of salvation available to all men. All right, the difference can and should lead to honest and sincere investigation, and investigation should lead to the truth, and truth is the solution to our problems and the resolution of differences. That's why we have to turn to the Bible, as we talked last Sunday morning about respecting Bible authority. If the people we're trying to convince do not respect the Bible as the Word of God, we're just talking. We're just doing talking points, and that's all they see. And it really doesn't go any farther than that. All right, Jesus wants his disciples to influence men. He wants us to influence other people. And we do that by letting our light shine, by being ready to give an answer of the hope that's in us, by living exemplary lives in the presence of those who are unbelievers. So yes, we're to influence them in a positive way. And so we look at the illustration of a navigator. And most of you know what a navigator is. There's different kinds of navigators. And on an airplane crew, they have the pilot and the co-pilot, and then they have the navigator. There's three people sitting in the cockpit. Sometimes they have more. But up in the cockpit, they have three people: the pilot, the co-pilot, and the navigator. And believe me, they do not leave the gate until they have all three. They need them all. Sometimes on a ship, you have a navigator, someone who plots the course and checks their position all the time and sees where they're going, and they are a navigator. And in a way, we are to be a navigator as well. A disciple of Jesus, as an influencer of men, should be a navigator. A navigator does at least five things. And we're going to look at these. They may not be in the right order in your opinion. If so, just switch them around if you need to. But there's five things he does. The navigator identifies the destination. And let's face it, if we're going to get in a plane, we get on a plane going to Houston, we don't want it going to Chicago. I mean, we want to go to Houston. So the navigator, he lets the pilot know, this is the course we're going to take, and this is the route. And so he identifies the destination. They plot it. Of course, they have their computers nowadays. They just punch it in the computer and hit the button, and it goes autopilot all the way. But still, they have to make adjustments, as we will see. So either a she or he is the guy that takes you from where you are to where you want to be. Now, in a spiritual application, people want to go to heaven, right? They talk about it. I want to go to heaven when I die. And we need someone to guide us in that direction. Yes, we have the Word of God that gives us the instructions. Well, a navigator has maps, and he has all sorts of weather reports and other things, and he keeps in contact with the ground just to make sure there's no other planes in vicinity and stuff like that. So this person takes you where you are to where you want to be, as we should be helping people on how to get to heaven. We first have to determine, where are they now? Where are they spiritually? I mean, have they obeyed the gospel yet? If not, we've got to teach them the gospel. And if they have obeyed the gospel and they need to make some corrections in their life, we need to show them what they need to do. So, Paul observed that our citizenship is in heaven in Philippians 3:20, and he spent his life trying to get other people to catch a vision of his destination. Paul wanted to go to heaven, and he wanted and encouraged others to want to go to heaven as well. In fact, most of the writing of the New Testament, he did a lot of it, and that's the whole theme, is getting to heaven. All right, so before we go anywhere, though, we must know where we are and determining where we're going to go. We always have to know where we are. Otherwise, we start out, we'd be heading the wrong direction. And it'd add time and cost to our journey if we don't really know where we are and what route we need to take. So we need someone to show us and where we are before we can look forward to going somewhere. And that's what a navigator does. He can tell you exactly where you are. Yeah, nowadays they use GPS and things like that. But they're useful tools. Very good tools, in fact. But spiritually speaking, many people do not know where they are. A navigator plots the course. All right, there must be some way to get from point A to point B. And a lot of times you think the straightest distance between two places is a straight line. Well, in some cases, yes. But if there's obstacles in the way, you're going to have to maneuver around those obstacles. I mean, they didn't take a straight line when they were traveling west in their wagons. They couldn't just go on a straight line like a freeway does. They had to go around the hills and the mountains and through the valleys and all this stuff, and they couldn't take a straight line. So a navigator was one that would guide them and take them through the most efficient way possible. And so the Savior said, "I am that way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We've got to use Jesus. Jesus is the one we need to take people to so that he can take them through. And he is the way. So that's where we need to take them. When we guide people, we're not going to guide them all the way into heaven. What we need to do is guide them to Jesus, and then Jesus will take over. And he will take them on into heaven if they will do his will. Jesus is the course. And he's a good navigator who is going to put you on track with the Lord to lead you through Jesus Christ. So that's what a good navigator does. Put you on the safest, most efficient course possible for you to reach your destination. And that right track is the narrow way. Remember, that's what Jesus said, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Go for that straight and narrow way. But see, he warned that few will be able to find it. A navigator thinks ahead. He does his planning. And Jesus never promised that being a Christian would be without problems and obstacles. In fact, we learn very quickly that when we obeyed the gospel and put on Christ, all of a sudden we started seeing obstacles we'd never seen before. We started having problems we never had before. Yeah, that's the work of Satan, getting in the way, trying to keep us out of heaven. And so it's not going to be easy, but the Bible calls these things stumbling blocks. In Romans 14 and 13, we're warned not to put a stumbling block before our brethren. And Jesus said, if you're going to do that, it'd be better for you to tie yourself up and cast yourself into the lake or the ocean rather than face the judgment of God. All right, so these are stumbling blocks. These are things that are put in the way to keep people from going the straight and narrow. A good navigator will, whenever possible, look ahead and identify these sources of stumbling. You know, if you're taking a long trip on an airplane, you're going to understand the pilot might get on and say, "Okay, we're going to go from here. It's going to take us 4 hours and 20 minutes to get to our destination. We're going to go around the southern end of the United States," or whatever. Then all of a sudden, about halfway, well, we're making a course correction because there's weather up ahead. There's a thunderstorm or something like that. And of course, we know the potential of what can happen in a thunderstorm and airplanes. So the navigator sees that and he advises everybody, we need to make a course correction. And he contacts the ground, and the ground says, "Okay, yes, we approved the course correction." And he tells the pilot, "Okay, pilot, you need to change direction. Go this way for several hundred miles. Then we can turn south or whatever direction." Alright, so to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Spiritually speaking, we can look and see that there's obstacles in the way. For some people, it's different things. And for others, I mean, let's face it, since we're trying to help people get to heaven, we want to do it the most efficient way possible. And sometimes preaching the truth chases them away. When you think about it. As we just discussed, the navigator makes course corrections. Yes, we have the straight and narrow way. And really, if we're on that straight and narrow way, we really don't need to make a course correction unless we get off of that way. Then we need to make a course correction to get back on our pathway. So once having identified the obstacles, we have to figure a way around, over, or under, or through the problem. And we can do that with the help of Jesus. It can figure it out. The Bible can tell us how to deal with all these spiritual obstacles. A good navigator possesses something many others do not. And that, of course, is experience. You know, when the ships come in from the ocean, a pilot comes out, sometimes called a navigator, comes out and takes over the controls of the ship. Why? Because they have the most experience in the port area. And they might know where the sandbars are or something, or other types of obstacles. And so they usually, the controls are handed over to them, where they can guide the ship into the port safely. A navigator knows a lot of things, and he uses his experience to keep everybody safe. All right, so having experience and a certain level of spiritual maturity usually qualifies one to help others through their problems. There's a lot of us who have been through problems in the past. We know how to deal with it. And when we see some of our brethren struggling with these same problems, we have that experience. We should be guiding and helping them. Hey, listen, I've been there. I've done that. I know what you're going through. Let me help you get back on the right course. And so that's what we need to do, is make course corrections as we go. And we should be ready to help the weak. Romans 15, 1 through 7 talks about this fact that we need to be there to bear the infirmities of the weak and to guide them and to help them and to lift them up. Now, a navigator stays with the people until they get to destination. He stays there. Of course, if you're in the plane's cockpit, it's kind of hard to leave unless you've got a parachute. But still, the navigator stays there. You wouldn't expect a navigator to jump ship just as you were facing a crisis. I mean, if the navigator on the Titanic, he probably jumped ship before they had made a course correction, and so that they hit the iceberg. No, a navigator is going to stay there however long it takes and make whatever adjustments and corrections need to be made, or at least advise the pilot what he needs to do. And he doesn't just bail out when, well, you got a problem, pilot, I'm going to go put on my parachute and I'm getting out of here. He doesn't do that. See, in times of trouble is when we need a navigator the most. We really do. We need someone there to guide us. We need someone there to support us. We need someone there to pick us up and then put us on the right track. So a good navigator is going to be with you through thick and thin, is going to help you. And he's not going to abandon you in the hour of trial. I mean, that's one thing we have. If we're there for each other, we've got to be there, good times, bad times. Jesus wants his people to make a difference in the lives of others. That's what this lesson is primarily about. That's us. We're to be there to help each other. And that's why we need to be a navigator. No better way that we can accomplish this than to be a navigator for others. We need to help others. Sometimes they don't want our help. Well, that's That's something we have to deal with. But some people think they can do it on their own, and maybe some can, but usually people need help to get out of a problem. And so we can be a navigator for others, and primarily for the church, we can show them the way from earth to heaven and from the world to Jesus. That's what we're to do as a navigator. You got to help these people identify the problems that stand in their way and stay with them, showing them how to work around and over the obstacles to become what God wants us to be. So we need to live to be a navigator for others. Consider those thoughts. We need to consider them and know that we're here for each other. We can't emphasize that enough. We're here for each other. We've got to help each other through thick or thin, no matter what. And the reason is because we all want to go to heaven. And we would like others to be interested enough to go to heaven as well. Sadly, sometimes that doesn't happen. They don't show that interest. And it's frustrating. But still, we just need to do the best that we can whenever we can. We're going to sing an invitation song, number 4. And if you're subject to invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.